perfect Sunday to be starting because we're getting ready to start a new three-part series. We're getting ready to start a new three-part series. Now, the vast majority of the time that we go through something in the senior high ministry, we typically pick a book and then go through it in chronological order. But this time, we're going to be focusing on a topic rather than a specific book of the Bible. Now, the topic that we're focusing on for these next 3 weeks is spiritual warfare. And in my own words, it can be just a little bit difficult to define exactly what that is. So I'll turn to scripture to get an exact one. If you guys could click on the slide, that would be great. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." I guess my clicker's not working at all. Do you guys have it, the stick plugged in the back, the USB drive? Okay, if I could just have someone on slides today, that would be wonderful. So the Apostle Paul writes that we don't just face battles here on this earth. But as followers of Christ, we are going to face spiritual battles as well. We're going to face, as Paul puts it, spiritual forces of evil. And even though we can't see them, they are still very present. And for that reason, we are calling this series The Unseen Battle. And the verse that we just looked at, Ephesians 2, 11 to 12, is actually our theme verse for the series. So let me read that again. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So our goal for this series is that you all would understand that we do have a real enemy who seeks to destroy us. Our struggles in life are not just physical, but we deal with the spiritual tactics of the enemy. And if we don't acknowledge that the enemy is present, we can more easily fall for his schemes. And if we're not actively fighting against the enemy, we are eventually going to lose the battle to him. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at three things. Today, we're going to look at the battle for the heart. We're going to look at how the enemy tries to get us to love other things over God, to keep us away from him. He tries to get us to love things more than God, so we're not willing to sacrifice those things for God. Next week, we're going to look at the battle for the mind, how the enemy uses distractions as a tactic to keep our mind off of God and to keep us focused on the things of this world, which keeps us away from the truth of God. And then the last week, we're going to look at the battle for the soul. We're going to look at how the battle for the soul is a battle for your very being, a battle for who you are across a lifetime, and how ultimately what the enemy wants, what the enemy desires, is that we live a life in separation from Christ. So if we want to fight against the enemy and his schemes, we have to learn to recognize and combat his tactics. And today we're going to start by looking at the battle for the heart, with our main point today being that the enemy will try to get us to love other things more than we love to God, or more than we love God. That's the tactic that we're going to focus on today. So let's pray, and then we'll look at that together. Father God, we thank you so much for this wonderful day that you've created. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we have the opportunity to gather, Lord. Without persecution, without judgment, we get to stand before your throne and worship. Father, we thank you for the church and how it invests so heavily within the youth ministry, God, we thank you for each and every one of these leaders who gives up their time and their energy in order to serve here. And God, we thank you for the students who come week after week, who love you and who are desiring to grow closer to you. Lord, I pray that as I speak today, that you would use me, God, that I may become less and you may increase, so that your words would pierce the hearts of your children. Lord, we love you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, before we start today, I want you guys to quickly turn to your tables, take about 2 minutes and discuss this one question. What are some things that you guys love? What are some things that you guys love? Take 2 minutes to discuss that, and then we'll come back. Also, hey, I apologize. Some of my brothers at this table corrected me that I misquoted. I said Ephesians 2. That's actually from Ephesians 6. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you guys for catching that. I appreciate it. All right. Let me hear it. What were you guys talking about? What are some things that you guys love? What are some things that... Yes, ma'am. Family. What else? Yes. Food. Yourself. God. What else? What are some things that we love? What was that? The humanities? What's that? What are you? Oh, yes, of course, the humanities. Right. One more. What are some things that you guys love? Friends. All right. Right? We all have things that we love. We all have things that hold a special place in our heart. And oftentimes the things that we love and the things that we enjoy are fun and they're enjoyable and they often seem harmless. And many times these things that we love tend to become a priority to us. We begin to put them at the top of our list. You know, somebody said friends. That was me for a very long time. My friends were my top priority. They came before anything else. But when we begin to put these things at the top of our list, when we begin to prioritize these things, the fact is that we often start to put them over God. Right? I think that if we all really take a look at ourselves and we all really take a look at our lives, that we can see at least one thing in our lives that we sometimes prioritize or love more than God. And the love that we feel for these things, they cause us to make decisions that are ungodly and ultimately pull us away from him. Now let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19 as we look at a great example of this. It says, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said to him, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Next slide. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So in the text, what we see is a young, rich man, very wealthy. He comes to Jesus humbly, and he asks him, "What do I have to do to have eternal life?" Jesus tells him, "Keep the commandments." He says, "Jesus, I've done this since my youth. I've been keeping the commandments my whole life." So then what we see is that Jesus tells him to sell everything that he has and give it to the poor. Now, why do you guys think that Jesus tells him this? Why does Jesus tell him to sell his possessions? That's a question. Why does Jesus tell this man to sell his possessions? Yeah. Do you guys hear that? He said probably because he values his possessions more than he values the Lord. You see, what we see here is that Jesus, he doesn't just make this up randomly on the spot. It's not just some random task that he gives him. But Jesus, we know from the scripture that Jesus has the ability to see into a person's heart. Jesus looks into this man's heart and he saw what was sitting on the throne of his heart, and it wasn't God. What Jesus actually points to is what's on the throne of all of our lives and our willingness or our unwillingness to relinquish them. You know, it could be money, it could be friends, it could be a job, it could be relationships, right? It doesn't matter what that thing is. The real issue here, it wasn't money, it was this commandment from Exodus 20. It's that you shall have no other gods before me. And when Jesus looked into the heart of this man, he saw that his riches and all of his possessions were sitting on the throne of his heart. He saw that all of his riches and his possessions were a god to him. You see, Jesus isn't telling him to sell his possessions because money is inherently evil. It was because money was a god, little g. Money was a little g god in this man's life. And Jesus here was testing his heart to see whether or not he would sacrifice his little g god for the kingdom of heaven. And as we read, he was not. If we go back just to look at verses 21 and 22, it says, Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I think that when we read this, it's easy to think of it as an instant decision. But truly think about what had to be going on in this man's heart. I'm sure that he was genuinely fighting himself on this, right? His worldly desires are right here, and his godly desires are right here, and they're at war within him. And this is where the enemy steps in. You guys know, like, if you guys ever watched, actually, you guys might be too young for this. Do you guys watch The Emperor's New Groove growing up and stuff? Yes. Okay. So did you guys watch the TV show? Was it called The Emperor's New School? What's that? Yeah, The Emperor's New School, whatever. And so you guys remember Krunk, right? The guy who likes the squirrels and he could cook. Krunk. No way. It's Grunk? It's Krunk. It said Grunk. Okay, you guys know Krunk, Yzma's henchman. Grunk? That's what I'm saying. Krunk. Krunk. Krunk? No way. All right, whatever. You guys remember Krunk, right? And in the TV show, the point is, in the TV show, Krunk would always have... Yes, there was a TV show. This is what I'm trying to say. In the TV show, Krunk always had his, like, himself that was like a little angel on his shoulder and himself that was like a little devil on his shoulder, right? And now, while that's just a playful representation... Excuse me. While that's just a playful representation, that's the war of the good desires versus the evil desires within us that we all have. We all have good and godly desires if we've accepted Christ, and we all have our fleshly and worldly desires on the other side, right? So imagine this man coming humbly to God, coming humbly to Jesus, asking him, what do I have to do to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus tells him, and now he's at war within himself, right? And this is where Satan starts whispering in his ear, oh, well, look at all the things that you have, and look at how long and how hard you've worked for them. Right? Think about this guy that you knew. He sold all his things to follow Jesus, and now look at him. You've always wanted to be rich, and now you are. You have all these things. You know, this is where the enemy steps in. And I'm not saying that this is what Satan said to this man, but this is how the devil can play with our hearts. He wants to get us to love our things or the things of this world more than we love God, so that we're not willing to sacrifice for God. Does that make sense? Right? He wants our hearts to be so caught up in the things of this world that we have no love left over to give to Christ. He wants us to end up choosing those things over God. You know, I'm actually really glad that I was preaching this message this week, because I'll be honest with you guys, this past week, I was super tempted to watch this TV show that I shouldn't have. Right, there's a show that I started watching a few years ago, not before Christ, but before I was more firm in my faith and I was being a casual Christian at the time. And there was this TV show that I thought was awesome. I mean, I loved this show. It had amazing fight scenes. It had this beautifully crafted and super intricate storyline, and the characters were really well written, and it was just a really good TV show. I really enjoyed watching it. But the problem is that this was a show that was not glorifying to God in the slightest, right? It was gory, it had coarse language, and just all around, it was inappropriate. But I loved this show for the characters, and I loved it for the storyline and the writing. And I think back in the day, I watched 2 seasons of the show before my desire for God became stronger than my desire for this TV show. But for some reason this week, I was really tempted to just go back and watch it. I think there was a new season that recently came out, and I was really tempted to go back and get caught up in all the seasons and just watch it and finish the storyline. And I'm not going to lie, I was really ready to watch it. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me, he was like, isn't this exactly what you're preaching on Sunday? Like, isn't this what you're talking about? Loving the things of the world over loving God? This wouldn't have just been like a one-time mistake, right? It's a TV show. It's something that you continue to watch. It's a continuous decision to keep choosing what you love over loving God. It would have been a continuous decision to align yourself with the things of the world versus aligning yourself with God and his holy desires. But praise God that I was able to catch myself. But I really only believe that, one, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within me, and two, because I've recently been studying the tactics of the enemy. I've recently been studying the way that Satan can try to get us to fall and trip and fall into temptation and to pull us away from God. I understood that Satan uses the things that we love as part of his goal to get us to idolize them, which puts them before God. Right? In the battle of the heart, we have to understand that the temptations are going to continue to come, right? Even though this wasn't a temptation I've had for years, it was here. It was here just the other day, last week. And we have to understand that they're going to continue to come, but we have to learn to combat them. And we'll talk more about that after we do some table questions. So let's go to the next slide, Aaron. A few table questions for you guys. If you were to talk to Jesus today, what do you think that he would tell you to give up? Number 2, what's keeping you from giving that thing up? And number 3, how can we combat the temptation of loving other things more than we love God? Take a few minutes to discuss that, and then we'll come back. All right, guys. Let's just answer the second question. What keeps you guys from giving up those things that you feel like you should, but you don't? What keeps us from giving it up? Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I'll come back to you. What'd you say, Landon? Your own pride? Temptation? What else? Yes. Comfort? That's a really good one. Comfort? What else? What keeps us from giving up these things? It became a habit. Not fully believing that it's an issue. Honestly, I mean, I'll say for me, we're talking about at my table here, is just like, sometimes I feel like I've earned this, right? Like that TV show that I'm talking about. And, you know, that's a silly example, but it's real, right? TV shows, music, that kind of thing. I feel like I've earned it. I've had a hard day at work. I've worked every day this week, whatever the case may be. Like, I just want to go home and watch what I want to watch, or I want to do what I want to do, right? I feel like I've earned it. But comfort, hey, that was a good one. Whoever said that was a good one. But all right, guys, Now that we see that Satan's goal is to get us to love other things more than we love God, we're going to look at some ways that we can combat those temptations that he places in front of us. And today I have three ways that I want us to look at combating these temptations of loving other things more than God. Those three ways, number one is serving God. Number two is sacrificing for God. And number three is surrendering to God. So let's start with that first one, serve God. When my wife and I were still dating, we started going through this book together called The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller. And one of the things that he wrote about is how in marriage, you're not always going to feel the same feeling you had when you were dating or when you first got married or whatever. Like, people change. I'm going to change. She's going to change. And I'm sure that any of the people who have been married for an extended time in this room will tell you the same thing. But people will change. But what he encouraged spouses to do is to continue serving one another daily, especially when you don't feel like doing it. He says that serving your spouse is not merely a reflection of existing love, but the practical daily means of cultivating deeper love. All right, let me say that again. He said that serving your spouse daily is not merely a reflection of existing love, but the practical daily means of cultivating deeper love. In other words, the more that I serve my wife, the deeper that I will love her. The more that I care for those around me, the easier it will be for me to love them. Does that make sense? Do you guys understand that? Right? And so to demonstrate this point, he talks about this story about how he, as a pastor, he and his wife would have to spend time with this couple that they really struggled with loving. They were just a difficult couple. It was always miserable to be around them. He didn't love hanging out with them, right? But it was his duty and his responsibility as a pastor to serve them in this way, by meeting with them continuously, by counseling them, by talking to them. And so week after week, month after month, he and his wife, they would meet with this couple. They would talk to them. They would counsel them. They would serve them. Right? And then one day, about a year down the line, or however long down the line, he and his wife were talking, and they're making plans for their free time. And he was like, well, why don't we hang out with this couple? And she's kind of like, in your off hours? You know, like, when you're not working, when we don't have to be with them? And what Tim Keller writes is that as he had been serving this couple and spending time with them, he actually cultivated a friendship for them. He actually cultivated a deep personal love for them. They became friends that had a deep relationship. And this came from serving them week after week after week, month after month. Guys, if we want to love God more than we love the things of this world, we need to start serving God more than we're following the things of this world. And I don't just mean accepting Christ, right? That's the first step. I don't just mean accepting Christ, but I mean taking tangible action to serve the Lord and to serve his church. And as you continue to serve God, you are going to find that your desire for him will continue to grow deeper and deeper. And the desires for the things of this world will begin to fade away. And the more that you serve him, the more that your heart is going to fill up with the things of Christ. Now, me personally, I can't remember a time that I grew more spiritually than when I first started volunteering as a small group leader here in senior high, right? And I found that the more that I did the things of the Lord, the more that I desired the Lord, the more that I wanted to be with him, and the less that I wanted to be with the things of this world. John 14:21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So if you look at now, while this is talking about genuine love for Jesus also being shown through obedience, it also has the reverse effect, right? The more that you genuinely obey God and serve God, the more that you will find yourself having a deeper and more genuine love for him. The more you will find yourself loving him more than the other things that are around you. So if you look at your life and currently and you see that your heart is set on the things of the world, whatever it may be, let me encourage you to start serving in some capacity. You know, here in the senior high ministry, we have the sound booth, we have the worship team, we have the greeter team. Many of you guys serve in Awana. You know, RBC has a garden ministry and a food pantry ministry. Like, there's so many ways to get plugged in here. But the more that you serve God, the deeper that you will see that you have a love for him and less love for other things. The next thing that we need to learn to do is to sacrifice for God. Sacrifice for God. Remember that the devil's goal is to get us to love the things of this world or just to love other things more than we love God. So not everything that we love is inherently bad, right? That TV show that I loved, yeah, that was bad. I can't make a case for that, right? But not everything will always be that way, right? Some of the guys at my table said that they loved music, right? Somebody said that they loved their friends. These things are not inherently bad. Even with the young rich ruler, the money wasn't the problem. But what was the problem? What was his problem in that text? Yeah. The love of money was the problem. His love for money was the issue. So think about your life. Because I asked you guys in the beginning, what are some things that you love? Think about that. What are some things that you truly love? What are some things that you feel like you can't live without? Right? Think about that. Is it your phone? Is it social media? Is it your girlfriend or boyfriend? Is it the sport that you play? Right? Many of these things are not inherently evil. Many of these things are not inherently bad. But what happens is that some of these things, they start to take priority over God. And just like the young rich man here, we may be unwilling to sacrifice them for God when the time comes. You know, Jim Supp, he regularly says that the heart is an idol factory. It constantly pumps out new things that we love. It constantly pumps out new things that we desire. And Satan, he wants us to desire and love these things so much that our hearts are no longer set on God. He wants our hearts to be completely on these things and to forget about God. So how do we combat that? Well, we learn to sacrifice for God. And a great way to do that is by fasting. And although fasting in Scripture is almost always a fast from food, there are other ways to fast. Now, I would still say, if you're going to fast, I would always accompany it with a fast from food as well. But you can fast from social media, you can fast from video games, you can fast from TV, you can fast from your phone, you can fast from your phone, you can fast from your phone. The point is, when you fast, you are sacrificing something that you love that takes up a good amount of your time in order to focus your eyes on God, right? So for Corinne, for example, it wouldn't make sense if she was like, yeah, guys, I'm going to fast from video games. I've never seen Corinne play a video game, all right? That wouldn't make sense for her, right? It wouldn't make sense for, it doesn't make sense for you to fast from something if you're not sacrificing something, right? If you're not giving something up, then you're not fasting, okay? So as followers of Christ, we have to be willing to make sacrifices for him. We have to be willing to give things up for him. And if there's something in your life that you are not willing to give up, or there's something in your life that you're not willing to sacrifice, there is a very good chance that you have a serious idol on your hands. Right? I fasted from a couple of different things in my life, and each time it made me realize how much I have idols, how I have so many idols in my life. It made me realize that I have things in my life that I put before God. Now, some of these things, they ended up staying out of my life for good. Like, I cut out social media for good. I cut out secular music, right? Some of these things stayed out of my life for good. Then again, there's other things that, you know, I still have in my life. Like I said, they're not inherently bad, but I use them in moderation. And guys, as you begin to learn to cut things out for the Lord and sacrifice things for the Lord and making a regular practice of sacrificing things for God, you'll see that your heart for Him will start to grow as you have less and less things that the devil can tempt you with, right? And your heart for God will only grow from that. Now, don't get me wrong, we're all human, and there will always be something that we struggle with, and oftentimes these temptations circle back, right? Like I said, that TV show, probably 5 years ago, four or 5 years ago is when I cut it out. 4 years with no temptation, and then here it is, back in my life. Right? But the more that we make these sacrifices for things that consume us, the easier it is to resist the devil as he tries to tempt us. But none of this matters if we're not actually surrendered to God. It doesn't matter if we're not actually surrendered to Him. Right? Because it's not about just what we do for God, and it's not about just what we give up for God, but it's about whether we're fully surrendered in our hearts to God. Now, surrender isn't just accepting Christ into your heart, but surrender is saying, God, you decide, not me. It's letting God take the throne of your heart instead of whatever you currently have there, instead of whatever you currently love most. It's the difference between saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you when it's easy, and saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you even when it costs me everything. Because God doesn't just want our service or our sacrifice, but He wants our surrender. Luke 9:23 says, and He said to them, to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Right? Jesus defines following Himself as denying yourself daily. It's not a one-time decision, but it's a lifetime of deciding to do what is right in the eyes of Christ. It's a lifetime of making the small, hard decisions. It's a lifetime of choosing Him over the things in your life. It's a lifetime of surrender. Because you can serve God, and still be in control. You can sacrifice for God and still be in control. But you cannot fully surrender to God and still be in control. It's not possible. You can't fully surrender to God and still be in control. Guys, the devil wants our hearts. He's not always going to come with things that look malicious, but he's going to come with things that seem good and seem fun. But he will tempt you to love those things more than you love God. And the Bible says that God is a jealous God. He wants your whole heart. He's not a God who's willing to take a piece of it, but he wants it all. He wants your surrender. And he wants you to love him more than anything else in this world. And we often say that we do. We often claim, God, I love you so much. I love you more than anything. But when it comes down to choose, do our hearts and desires truly reflect what we profess? Or are we like the young rich man who wanted Jesus, but he wanted other things more? He wanted Jesus, but his heart belonged to his riches. And if you're a follower of Christ today, your challenge is to love God with all of your heart. not allowing the devil to sway you to loving other things more. That's your challenge. That's your goal. It's to love him so deeply that there's no room for anything else. To love him so incredibly deeply that he becomes your only, your number one priority at the top of all that you do. And if you're not a follower of Christ today, what we hold out to you is a God who wants your heart. And he wants your heart because he's the one who created you. And you were created in the image of God, made to bear his image. You were created to be in relationship with him and to love him. But because we in our human nature, we have rebellious hearts, we sin. And we've all sinned. We've all done what was wrong in the eyes of God. But God, being so incredibly loving, decided to show his love for us by sending his son Jesus to take on the punishment of death that we deserve by dying on the cross. And he rose again 3 days later, proving that everything he said was true and that he was the only way to eternal life. So before you can make a practice of serving God and sacrificing for God and surrendering to God, you must first accept Christ into your heart. And if you want to do that today, please, I would love to have that conversation with you, or any of the leaders in this room would love to have that conversation with you. Guys, we have a real enemy who desires to separate us from God, and he will use the things that we love to do that. But in order to combat that, we have to start serving God, sacrificing for God, and fully surrendering to God. Let's pray. Father God, we are so, so grateful, Lord, that even in the midst of temptation, you provide a way of escape. Lord, you tell us in your word that no temptation has overtaken us that is not common to man. Lord, but with each temptation, you provide the route of escape. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at and examine our hearts today, God, that you'd help us to choose you over the things that we love, Lord, to love you with all of our heart. Father, I pray that as we serve, as we sacrifice, and as we surrender, that the things that we love would become just a side note in our life, Lord. And that we would see you as the main thing, as the most important thing, and that we would continue to choose to follow you, denying ourselves daily, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for who you are. In your mighty name we pray, Father. Amen.
All right, well, if you guys could stand, we just have one more worship song before we close out today.